This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley. Let's dig deep and grow strong. And now, here's Jeff.
And that's exactly why I do this podcast, so that you can grow strong. And just like you want to be physically healthy and physically able to handle the things that life brings your way, so you want to be spiritually healthy as well. And this podcast is here for the express purpose of giving you God's vintage truth, because that is the truth that gives us the strength as we interact with it, as we engage it, as we dig into it, and as we appropriate it into our daily lives. That's how, my friends, we become strong. And that's why we do this. And two ways that you can help do that for this ministry, help this ministry be strong, is number one, by financially supporting this podcast ministry for as little as $10 a month. And you can go up to however much you want, but we need your support. And if this ministry has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider saying, okay, Jeff, 12 times a year, I'm going to send a check, or 12 times a year, I'm going to make a contribution towards this ministry. And this does help strengthen and keep this ministry strong. Say, Jeff, how do I do that? Well, simple. You go to jeffkinley.com, okay? jeffkinley.com. There's a donate tab at the top of the page there on the little menu bar. You click that, and you can either set up a reoccurring payment through this little donate button there that will come out of your checking account or your bank account or whatever you want to each month, or you can mail a physical check or have your bank set up to mail a physical check each month to a physical address that's listed on that page as well. Your contributions go to Main Thing Ministries, which is my ministry. It's a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, and every bit of your tax, your donations are tax deductible. So please do that. Second way is you can buy my new book. You say, wait a minute, Jeff, I've already bought your new book. Good. You need to buy this book for a friend. Interview with the Antichrist. His hour has come. And I'm telling you, with the times that we're living in right now, this message is more relevant now more than ever, as a not only as a way to help younger Christians engage in what the Bible says about the end times, but also as a method of evangelism, as a tool for evangelism, because this book helps a non-Christian reader envision what potentially could be, what the end of days will be like. And I do all this based on Scripture. And then at the end of the book, as you may already well know, I've got a section called Meet the Antichrist, where I cover and tackle 30 of the most intriguing questions about the Antichrist straight from the Scriptures. So this is an incredible tool that you can take and learn. It's a great looking book. It's not a long read. The fiction section of the book is about 170 pages long, so it's not a huge long book for them to read, but it's something that really stimulates their thinking, but leads them like a trail of breadcrumbs to the ultimate pure truth of God's Word found in the back of the book. So I highly encourage you to do that. Go to Amazon, order the book. And if you've already ordered the book from Amazon, then go there and write a review. Give it a five-star review, or tell why you like this book. Those two things help this ministry, and they help me as an author as well. So thank you so much for listening and for being willing to even consider that. Now, let's get on to talking about our topic, the secrets to spiritual growth. Yeah, you know, I put secrets not as if that they're somehow hidden, but they are hidden from people who don't know it, and from people who have never really encountered the principles of spiritual growth as found in God's Word. They're secret, and these people don't know these things. So that's why we're sharing them from the Word of God. Before we jump into that, though, I came across some different laws that are, at least up until recent years, have been on the books of various cities and states in our country. You might find some of them rather amusing. By the way, did you know that in Boston, in order to take a bath, you must have a doctor's written prescription? That was on the books. A Louisiana law says that you can grow as tall as you like. Those folks in Louisiana are nice, aren't they? It's against the law in North Carolina to sing out of tune. If that's true, then a lot of people are breaking the law there. In Natoma, Kansas, it is illegal to practice knife throwing at someone wearing a striped suit. You are not permitted to swim on dry land in Santa Ana, California. Those Californians, man, they know what's up. In Idaho, you can't fish for trout from the back of a giraffe. And I was planning on doing that for my vacation. There's a law in Pocatello, Idaho, that makes it illegal to look gloomy. Wow. In the Pine Island District of Minnesota, a man must tip his hat when passing a cow. They probably do it in India, too, if they wear hats. It's unlawful to lasso a fish in Knoxville, Tennessee. And in White Cloud, Kansas, it is illegal to break out of jail. Can you imagine that? That government oppression there in White Cloud, Kansas. Now, these laws may come across as being silly, and they are, but they're also ridiculous. But when it comes to our faith and our growth in Jesus Christ, there are some spiritual laws in God's book that are not silly and that also make perfect sense to us. Now, we could define spiritual growth as this, as the process whereby our position in Christ slowly becomes our practice in life. Let me repeat that. A spiritual law here about spiritual growth is whereby our position in Christ, who we are in Christ, slowly becomes the practice of our life. And our position in Christ never changes. It never wavers. It was settled. It was chiseled into stone the moment you accepted Jesus Christ into your life and placed your faith in Him. Our position before God, we are in Christ, we are children of God, that never changes. However, our practice, or our growth, it does change. And it changes dramatically. And sometimes in different seasons, it changes in varying degrees. So if our growth is so important, and if growing means we get to experience more of what we've already been given in Christ, then we need to cover some principles of those of that spiritual growth as well. So here are some of those laws or some of those principles of spiritual growth. And to understand that, we need to know what spiritual growth is not, just real quickly, because a lot of Christians have this backwards, okay? They literally put the cart before the horse. For, number one, spiritual growth is much more than intellectual knowledge, okay? Now, it doesn't mean that we should not pursue knowledge, because in the last podcast, I said, oh, this is very, very important. In fact, without spiritual knowledge, without knowledge of the truth, you cannot grow. You cannot grow. You must know about God and about what He says in His Word in order to grow. You can't even respond to God unless you know what He says in His Word. So that's number one. It's more than just spiritual knowledge. It's important, but you have to go beyond that and do something with that. You can't just put the food in your mouth, okay? That's spiritual knowledge. You have to chew it, you have to digest it, and allow its nutrients to go into your body. The second thing that spiritual growth is not is that it's more than performing just religious activity. Okay, it's more than service, it's more than our outward acts of religiosity or Christian acts, okay? So it's more than just serving in the church or doing a good deed or, you know, being nice to people or whatever it is, you know, bringing soup to someone or a shut-in or whatever. I mean, those are good things, but it's more than just doing stuff, okay? That's not a principle of spiritual growth. But another thing is this. One final thing is that Paul says in Philippians 3 and in verse 12, he says this. He says, "Beloved, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect," that is fully spiritually mature, "but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." So what Paul is saying there is that spiritual growth is not something that you just attain and then you're done, all right? You keep growing, as we mentioned in the last podcast. Now, that statement does take on some pretty cool meaning when you consider when it was written. And Paul wrote the book of Philippians back in late 50s, early 60s. Okay, so let's just say, most scholars agree it's somewhere around 60, 61 A.D. So if that's true, Paul had been walking with the Lord for about 30 years. Wow, let's just contemplate that for a second. How long have you been walking with Christ? Not, I prayed to receive Christ at age 5, and then I didn't really start growing until I was 17 at youth camp or whatever. No, how long have you actually been growing in Christ? And have you been growing and learning and serving and engaging God for 30 years in the same way the Apostle Paul did? Probably not. I haven't. So he's saying, hey, time is an element, is an important element in spiritual growth. We said last time, you can't microwave yourself to maturity. There's no drive-through discipleship. It's not a pill that we take. It's not a conference we go to and we just got it now. It's not a book that we read and all of a sudden we're complete. No, it's a time thing. And again, if God wants to make a weed, he may take a day or two. But if he wants to make a mighty oak, then he's going to take 100 years. So time, God uses time. And the reason why that's so important is because the development of our spiritual lives, our relationship with Christ and our strength in him and our growth necessitates time. In other words, you can't just, like if you were going to work out with weights, you couldn't just take a pill and all of a sudden you get big muscles, right? You have to work out. Same is true with your lungs or with your legs or whatever else, physically speaking. And God uses the element of time because time enables us to do a couple of things. In other words, it enables us not only to engage the truth, but time enables us to process the truth, to think about the truth, to meditate on the truth, and then to see it disseminate into our lives. Because you may learn a truth or may learn something about God and the scripture and that type of thing, but then it takes time for you to really let that ruminate, marinate, whatever word you want to use, in your mind, to let that seed soak down into the soil of your mind as believers. And in fact, I was reading in a book. I set aside time almost every day for just reading. And I sit down usually a good hour, and I'm going through a stack of books here. And this book I've been going through, I was reading about some research that had been done by a scholar, and it took me time to really think about it. In fact, I had to reread it several times as he's explaining the scripture here. And I just had to say to myself, you know, it's going to take me some time to really think through this. These are some new thoughts. And new, not in the sense that it's new revelation, but new in the sense that it's new, a new way for me to understand something. And here specifically, it was the structure and the flow of the Gospel of Matthew. And as I was going through this, I thought, wow, this is good stuff, man. It's going to take me some time to think through this. And then to incorporate it into my thinking and my lifestyle and to my teaching and that type of thing. Well, that's the whole principle. That's the whole point, is that God takes time. So God's not trying to make a squash out of you. That usually takes about 2 months. He's trying to make a mighty oak. And you know why? Because those oak trees, those roots go deep. And the deeper the roots, the stronger the tree. You don't want to be like a pine tree that gets knocked over and just a strong wind comes along. You want to be like an oak tree that can withstand literally almost anything. So time is a very important element in our spiritual growth. A second factor in our spiritual growth is desire. Okay? Desire. Now, when we go over to 1 Peter, chapter 1, Peter tells us about another spiritual principle that contributes to our spiritual growth. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word. And this word translated long here is a Greek word whose root meaning means to yearn affectionately for, or to have a great affection for something. And it's all about an intense desire, an earnest desire, a sincere desire. And basically and that word, by the way, is used elsewhere in the New Testament to talk about longing to be clothed with a new body. It talks about Paul longing for to see the Romans in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. A word that's used that in James 4 for verse 5 says he jealously desires the spirit which he has placed within us. And then, of course, here in 1 Peter 2, to long for it, earnestly long for something. So the question then becomes, do I desire to grow? Do I want to be something more and stronger than I am right now? And, you know, that's a question that only you can answer. And to the degree, now watch this, to the degree that your desire is growing and that your desire exists to begin with, to that same degree will you then engage and seek out the satisfaction of that desire? And we could translate that because Peter in here talks about it in the context of longing for the pure milk of the word. So he's comparing that to a baby's longing for milk. And I mean, even now, even today, you find yourself going, boy, I'm hungry. It's, you know, and it's not just maybe it's time to eat. It's just your body is just telling you you're hungry. And I guarantee you that 99% of the time when you're hungry, you're going to eat something because your body's not going to let you forget it. Well, our spirits function in much of the same way, is that our spirit and our soul, we begin to be hungry for truth. We're hungry for the things of God. We're hungry to be with believers. We're hungry for genuine fellowship. But here specifically, we're hungry for the word. And, you know, there are times in my life, in your life, when you're just not hungry. And sometimes the reason we're not hungry is because we ate between meals. And I don't mean eating good stuff. I mean that we have stuffed ourselves with junk food for that afternoon snack. And when dinner comes around, then we're just not hungry. And sometimes we allow some of the things of the world, even just the temporal things of life, some of them are not necessarily bad, but they're just things that kind of give us a sense of fullness. And we don't think we need God. So sometimes that desire is not like the only thing that drives us, but that we realize we need to have the desire to drink that milk and to eat that meat of God's word. And so desire, longing for the word, longing for the word. And here's the thing that I've learned personally in my life, is that the more I dig into God's word, the more amazing things, not only that I learn, but the amazing ways in which the Bible interacts with my life and gives me insights into the character of God, into God himself. It actually draws me closer to God in intimacy with him. As I experience that, you get that eureka moment. You get that wow factor that's re-injected back into your life. And so sometimes it's remembering how great it is to study the Bible that actually sparks the desire to do it during those times when I don't have the desire. And so like everything else in life that we know we should do, sometimes we just have to say, I'm going to do it anyway, even though I don't have a big desire. I'm going to get into the word right now and trust that God will feed that desire the more I get into his word. So desire is important for growth. In fact, that's exactly what Peter says here. He says, desire the pure milk of the word. Why? That by it, by the word, you may grow in respect to your salvation. Wow. It just says it right there. So how important is our desire and our craving for God's word? Well, it's paramount. It's very, very, very important. Let me give you one more here. It's found in Romans 1:17. And Paul here writing to the Romans that we just said he longed to see, longed to be with there. In Romans 1:17, he says this. He says, For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. So, well, Jeff, what's he talking about there, the from faith to faith? Well, what he's saying there is that the initial faith you had was to place faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. But there's a second kind of faith that we exercise, and that's the faith of our Christian life. It's the faith of sanctification. It's the faith of living righteously in the world. And we exercise that faith when we follow Christ in our daily lives. And the way that that contributes to our spiritual growth is that the more we exercise, we don't exercise saving faith all over again. We never ask God to save us twice, okay? That's a settled issue. So it's like saying, calling up your mother on Mother's Day, would you give birth to me? No, that's already happened, okay? So we don't go back to that kind of faith. But we exercise a different kind of faith that enables us to grow from day to day. And that kind of faith is the faith that we see change. It's the faith that expands. It's the faith that becomes stronger and stronger. And suddenly what happens over time is that we realize we are able to handle things in life and to trust God for big things in our lives. that formerly we would never been able to do. But because we've been growing in the Lord, we are able to handle them. And that's the faith to faith aspect. Because why? Because he says there, as he's quoting Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith. It's the only way to live. And that faith is what takes us into new levels of Christian growth. I'll tell you more the next time on the Vintage Truth Podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.